And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 5:07 p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 a.m., your progressive voice in Anchorage, and it's time for hour two of the Aaron Selbig Show. Today, as we do every Friday, we bring you a little thing we like to call the Demo Memo. Our guests in the studio today, Representative-elect Mike Dugan and Senator Johnny Ellis. If you've got a question or comment for Senator Ellis or Representative Dugan, 929-5160, the telephone number.
Aaron, let's just take a moment to savor the words Representative-elect Mike Dugan.
I can't believe it. You know, I want to, before we've got callers on the line. Before we go there, I do want to ask you, as long as it's on my mind, Mike, I saw the big spread on you in the Anchorage Press last week. Great story. Nice picture. I couldn't believe how much Lauren Lehman despises you. I mean, some of the quotes in that thing were just outlandish.
It's a badge of honor for Mike Dugan.
Yeah, you know, it's terrible to be misunderstood like that. you'd think that I'd, like, written some mean things about the guy or something.
Did you?
I hope so.
How on earth could you find mean things to say about Lauren Lehman? I don't not quite understand.
You know, it wasn't really that hard.
He's a man of God, isn't he? Kind of, technically.
Well, maybe.
Mr. Dugan goes to Juneau.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, I was such a fan of Mike's columns and now of his novels, and it's just really exciting to have someone of his caliber come to Juneau, because I think it's going to shake up the system, and that's a good thing.
It certainly is, and I know there's probably some folks in there that you upset in your many years as a columnist for the Anchorage Daily News, but to have you go in there and, like Senator Ellis says, shake things up, I think it's great for Anchorage, great for the fine citizens of
Spinard. The politicians will just have to deal with it.
Hey,
you know?
There's nothing they can
it's
do about it now.
It's a character test.
Absolutely.
Well, all I know is I'm going to have fun. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm going to have fun.
Let's go to the phones now. 929-5160, the telephone number. We go to line one and Richard. Hi, Richard. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Johnny. Johnny, you're a long timer. And, Mike, you're a newcomer and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Really, really, really enjoyed your columns. You know, we need a humorist, a man who can pick out the hyperbole out of the crowd down there with that den of thieves that come down there annually to Juneau to lobby for their special interest. Speaking on the ethics issue, David Finkelstein had an excellent ethics law way back when, and that disappeared with the coming generations showing up in Juneau. I would really like to see at this time of this paradigm shift of which people are just sick and tired of the corruption, because power corrupts, and the absolute power of the Bush administration has absolutely corrupted this country. Now that there's a change in the tide, I'd like to see the strong ethics laws written such that they won't be amended and carried back out to sea like flotsam and jetsam in the future, because the oil companies are the big players here in the fish in the forest in the past, and now, you know, the rising use of the tourism industry and the cruise line influence. We need strong ethics laws for the legislators, for the lobbyists, for the governor, for all concerned, because the resources of Alaska belong to Alaskans. But as it's turned out, some pigs are more equal than the other animals in George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Thanks a lot, Richard. Absolutely. I think Richard speaks for a lot of us.
A well-read and articulate caller.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it possible that the backlash from this, some of which we're starting to see, Governor Palin is very serious about ethics reform, and frankly, I believe her, and legislators, even ones that you wouldn't imagine talking about ethics reform, are talking about it. It's very popular, very hip and in right now. Could the backlash from this corruption scandal clean out some of this corruption for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think that it can change the laws, and probably will. You know, just exactly what kinds of standards we'll end up with, I'm not sure. But I think that there's going to be some loopholes closed and, you know, some of that. But is that going to result in more ethical behavior? Frankly, that's a matter of who people elect and send them down. You know, people insist on looking for some sort of systematic solution to what is a personnel problem. Right. This is not a matter of anything other than you get people in there who just you know, decide that the law is not for them, or that they don't have to be obey it, or that, you know, this is really their opportunity to make hay. And you can't write a law detailed enough to prevent people from being dishonest if they're dishonest.
Representative-elect Dugan, you were a career journalist for much of your life. Probably, are you the longest tenured columnist in ADN history?
I think I was.
I can't remember anybody longer.
I think I was.
How culpable is the media in this? Because I know a lot of voters are scratching their heads and thinking, well, gosh, you know, we go to the polls, we have busy lives, there's only so much attention we can pay to who these people are that are running for office. You know, a lot of the information, maybe all of the information they're getting, comes from the newspapers, the TV stations. How big a responsibility does the media bear?
Well, I think there's plenty of blame to go around for something like this. And the fact of the matter is that the media has not paid much attention to ethical questions for some time now. You know, people sort of, when I was out knocking on doors, they say, how does this kind of stuff happen? And I say, you know, the same way you boil a frog. You know, you put them in the water and just turn the heat up gradually until they're boiled. And people's response to ethical violations is like that. You know, they just, you know, began to accept certain things and accepted other things after that and accepted other things after that. And pretty soon, you got what you got.
Representative-elect Mike Dugan and Senator Johnny Ellis are guests in the studio today for the Demo Memo. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, give us a call at 929-5160. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 929-5160, the telephone number here on the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative-elect Mike Dugan, our guests in the studio. Gentlemen, if you don't mind, let's go back to the phones to line three, I think we're on, and Caroline. Hi, Caroline, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. And I was teasing JR, nothing succeeds like excess. You guys sure are getting the ads in there. That's terrific.
Oh, yeah. That's a double-edged sword, Caroline, but
I'm
not at liberty to talk
money.
About it.
I was about to say, I hope everybody's making money.
Well,
I have
is.
A quick question. I have a particular area of interest, and I wondered where incoming Representative Dugan, and he represents me, yippee, and a lot of other folks here. I wondered what he was going to be looking at in terms of what some of his goals were, but my particular acts that I'd like to see ground, however you say that, is our park system. I've been a little nervous about it at the national level, and certainly the state level could be a concern too, is cutting back services to the parks to the point where people stop going to them, which might make it an argument that we should start selling off our parkland because people don't use the parks. But if the money isn't there to make the park safe, people won't come.
Good question, Carolyn.
So this is obviously not Carolyn Lehman calling in in defense of Lauren.
No, this is Caroline, the lady that got the lamp.
I know. Hi, Caroline.
Well, you know, Caroline, Johnny knows more about this than I do, actually. But, you know, up until we suddenly got rich again here last year, I guess it was the year before, whenever it was, what had happened was there'd been sort of a steady whittling away at everything. And by everything, I mean everything. The legislature was assessing, you know, 5% across the board cuts and 10% across the board cuts. And that's just not smart budgeting. You know, what you really want to do is decide what it is you want to do, fund that, and then just not fund the other stuff.
Exactly.
And so it's really, you know, a question like parks is a question like any other, which is where does it fall on a priority list? You know, how much money have you got and how far down the list can you get? And, you know, how much is it going to cost you to do a decent job, which I'd argue, you know, I've seen the deterioration. I use the state parks. You know, I go out and camp and do all the rest of that, and I've seen them deteriorate over the past decade pretty badly. And so the question is, you know, how much money would it cost to actually have a decent park system? And, you know, can we finance it, and where does it fall on the priority list? But as long as really all we're doing is saying we're going to keep doing everything, we'll just do less of it, which has been the approach so far, I think, we're just never going to have a very good anything.
But shouldn't our parks, if they're in good shape, be a profit center for us in terms of tourists?
Well, they certainly ought to be. You'd think they would be, at least during the tourist season. I mean, I imagine a lot of those roadside parks just sit there empty during the winter. But you should be able to make some revenue. I don't know the numbers well enough to know whether you could, you know, make as much as you need to run the park system off of user fees during the summer. I tend to doubt it. You know, I think you're always going to have to put some general fund money in there, and as soon as you decide you're going to do that, it's in the pool with everything else.
Yeah, well, I'm just afraid that they'll start selling off our park land. That's my worry.
That's an interesting conclusion to draw. Might not be too far off base. Thanks, Caroline.
You're welcome.
Senator Ellis, I would imagine that running the state park system in Alaska is a lot different than it is in any other state in the union. You're talking about a lot more land, probably more traffic, with some exceptions. But how is it more of a challenge than it is other places?
Well, the parks are, we can be very proud of our park system in Alaska, the amount of acreage that's devoted to it, and Alaskans love their parks.
Mm-hmm.
They love their state parks. Chugach State Park was created through a whole citizen mm-hmm. effort. Representative
right.
Sharon Sisna was one of the we call her the mother or grandmother of Chugach State Park. And that group, that citizen advisory group and friends of Chugach State Park are inviting legislators and new legislators to an informal dinner next week, I believe, to lobby us on this very issue. So Carol, I might want to get involved with that group. So Alaskans love their parks. Everything that Mike Dugan said is absolutely true, that whittling away at the parks over the past few years, and a fellow who worked for the Knowles administration tried some innovative approaches, but they never really pencil out as a profit center. It's a much more generalized economic effect of drawing tourists here and being proud of our outdoors. I come through back from Juneau through the Yukon and am often very much impressed with how the Yukoners do it, whether they have prisoners out cutting firewood or cleaning the latrines at their state parks and campgrounds. And you come into Alaska and all the signs are shot up.
Right.
The parks are in terrible disarray.
Yeah, it's a real difference.
It's a shocking, shocking contrast between our parks
and the Yukons
and pull-offs and the Yukons. And, you know, they're a much more struggling resource-based economy over there. And it makes me not so proud to be an American or an Alaskan that we can't put the resources necessary to have a proud state park system. We can do better.
You know, Senator Ellis, taking that idea of using prisoners to help with the maintenance of the parks, maybe it's not such a bad thing that we have qualified people like Representative Tom Anderson that might be able to help spearhead such
now,
an
Now, how
effort.
Did we know you were going there, Aaron?
Judge, jury, and executioner.
Ouch. Couldn't help it. Got to take a one-minute break here on the Aaron Selvig Show. Representative-elect Mike Dugan and Senator Johnny Ellis, our guests. 929-5160, the telephone number. We love you. We love your calls. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 526 in the Anchorage Bowl. We're doing the demo memo today, as we do every Friday. And good news, ladies and gentlemen, our guests today, Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative-elect Mike Dugan, are able to stick around with us a little bit longer. An extended version of the demo memo makes the children very happy. Fellas, I want to talk about no longer governor-elect Sarah Palin. JR and I did a special couple of shows earlier this week. We went up to Fairbanks over the weekend. We were talking to some of the striker soldiers, but we were there primarily to cover the inauguration of Sarah Palin at the Carlson Center. We were there, got to talk to the governor-elect and some of the Constitution delegates that were there. A very interesting weekend. It really did feel like an important moment in Alaska history. How do you guys feel about the incoming Palin administration and so far her first week on the job?
Optimistic, like Alaskans. I think that's reflective of politicians and regular folks in general. And I was very encouraged to hear one of my political heroes, Senator Vic Fisher, former state Senator Vic Fisher and constitutional author Vic Fisher, say that he was invited to spend about an hour with Sarah Palin, along with the other, John Coghill and others who were there at the Constitutional Convention, and discussed their reverence for the Constitution and how progressive our state Constitution is. And Sarah Palin wove that into her inaugural speech. And on the campaign trail, some people said in a sort of unsophisticated and sophomoric way, talked about the Constitution. I take her at her reverence for the Constitution as a very real thing, and that she, as she studies the Constitution more, her appreciation for that will grow. And
she calls it her political Bible.
Absolutely, and that's a great sign. And I know that there are folks that are interested in not enshrining discrimination against gays and lesbians into the state constitution. And I know Sarah Palin has her views about that, but hopefully we can come to some conclusion about the state constitution may not be the place to work out to enshrine discrimination in the constitution. So I'm optimistic that she's off to a good start.
Absolutely.
And she kicked Jim Clark's butt off of the Angda board. I danced a jig around my living room when I said, good for you, Sarah Palin.
I want to get to that when we come back after the bottom of the hour break, ask you about that, Governor Murkowski appointing Jim Clark. I hope he enjoyed the job on the board. It lasted all of 2 days, I think. We'll get to all of that and more. You know, the headline in the News Miner about that optimism, I were reading this when we were there, it was about an article about Palin, and the subheadline was, even Democrats are optimistic. You can read into that a couple of different ways. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080 AM. An extended version of the demo memo with Senator Ellis and Representative-elect Dugan coming up. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 5:07 p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 a.m., your progressive voice in Anchorage, and it's time for hour two of the Aaron Selbig Show. Today, as we do every Friday, we bring you a little thing we like to call the demo memo. Our guests in the studio today, Representative-elect Mike Dugan and Senator Johnny Ellis. If you've got a question or comment for Senator Ellis or Representative Dugan, 929-5160, the telephone number.
Aaron, let's just take a moment to savor the words, Representative-elect Mike Dugan.
I can't believe it. You know, I want to, before we've got callers on the line. Before we go there, I do want to ask you, as long as it's on my mind, Mike, I saw the big spread on you in the Anchorage Press last week. Great story, nice picture. I couldn't believe how much Lauren Lehman despises you. I mean, some of the quotes in that thing were just outlandish.
It's a badge of honor for Mike Dugan.
Yeah, you know, it's terrible to be misunderstood like that. you'd think that I'd, like, written some mean things about the guy or something.
Did you?
I hope so.
How on earth could you find mean things to say about Lauren Lehman? I don't not quite understand.
You know, it wasn't really that hard.
He's a man of God, isn't he? Kind of, technically.
Well. Maybe.
Mr. Dugan goes to Juneau.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, I was such a fan of Mike's columns and now of his novels, and it's just really exciting to have someone of his caliber come to Juneau, because I think it's going to shake up the system, and that's a good thing.
It certainly is, and I know there's probably some folks in there that you upset in your many years as a columnist for the Anchorage Daily News, but to have you go in there and, like Senator Ellis says, shake things up, I think it's great for Anchorage, great for the fine citizens of Spinard.
The politicians will just have to deal with it.
Hey,
you know?
There's nothing they can
it's
do about it now.
It's a character test.
Absolutely.
Well, all I know is I'm going to have fun. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm going to have fun.
Let's go to the phones now. 929-5160, the telephone number. We go to line one and Richard. Hi, Richard. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Johnny. Johnny, you're a long timer. And, Mike, you're a newcomer and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Really, really, really enjoyed your columns. You know, we need a humorist, a man who can pick out the hyperbole out of the crowd down there with that den of thieves that come down there annually to Juneau to lobby for their special interest. Speaking on the ethics issue, David Finkelstein had an excellent ethics law way back when, and that disappeared with the coming generations showing up in Juneau. I would really like to see at this time of this paradigm shift of which people are just sick and tired of the corruption, because power corrupts, and the absolute power of the Bush administration has absolutely corrupted this country. Now that there's a change in the tide, I'd like to see the strong ethics laws written such that they won't be amended and carried back out to sea like flotsam and jetsam in the future, because the oil companies are the big players here in the fish in the forest in the past, and now, you know, the rising use of the tourism industry and the cruise line influence We need strong ethics laws for the legislators, for the lobbyists, for the governor, for all concerned, because the resources of Alaska belong to Alaskans. But as it's turned out, some pigs are more equal than the other animals in George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Thanks a lot, Richard. Absolutely. I think Richard speaks for a lot of us,
a well-read and articulate caller.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, can we? Is it possible that the backlash from this, some of which we're starting to see, Governor Palin is very serious about ethics reform, and frankly, I believe her. And legislators, even ones that you wouldn't imagine talking about ethics reform, are talking about it. It's very popular, very hip and in right now. Could the backlash from this corruption scandal clean out some of this corruption for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think that it can change the laws, and probably will. You know, just exactly what kinds of standards we'll end up with, I'm not sure. But I think that there's going to be some loopholes closed and, you know, some of that. But is that going to result in more ethical behavior? Frankly, that's a matter of who people elect and send them down. You know, people insist on looking for some sort of systematic solution to what is a personnel problem. Right. This is not a matter of anything other than you get people in there who just, you know, decide that the law is not for them, or that they don't have to be obey it, or that, you know, this is really their opportunity to make hay. And you can't write a law detailed enough to prevent people from being dishonest if they're dishonest.
Representative-elect Dugan, you were a career journalist for much of your life. Probably, are you the longest tenured columnist in ADN history?
I think I was.
I can't remember anybody longer.
I think I was.
How culpable is the media in this? Because I know a lot of voters are scratching their heads and thinking, well, gosh, you know, we go to the polls. We have busy lives. There's only so much attention we can pay to who these people are that are running for office. You know, a lot of the information, maybe all of the information they're getting, comes from the newspapers, the TV stations. How big a responsibility does the media bear?
Well, I think there's plenty of blame to go around for something like this. And the fact of the matter is that the media has not paid much attention to ethical questions for some time now. You know, people sort of, when I was out knocking on doors, they say, how does this kind of stuff happen? And I say, you know, the same way you boil a frog. You know, you put them in the water and just turn the heat up gradually until they're boiled. And people's response to ethical violations is like that. You know, they just, you know, begin to accept certain things and accepted other things after that and accepted other things after that. And pretty soon, you got what you got.
Representative-elect Mike Dugan and Senator Johnny Ellis are guests in the studio today for the Demo Memo. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, give us a call at 929-5160. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 929-5160, the telephone number here on the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative-elect Mike Dugan, our guests in the studio. Gentlemen, if you don't mind, let's go back to the phones to line 3, I think we're on, and Caroline. Hi, Caroline, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. And I was teasing JR, nothing succeeds like excess. You guys sure are getting the ads in there. That's terrific.
Oh, yeah. That's a double-edged sword, Caroline, but
I'm
not at liberty to talk
money.
About it.
I was about to say, I hope everybody's making money.
Well,
I have
is.
A quick question. I have a particular area of interest, and I wondered where incoming Representative Dugan, and he represents me, yippee, and a lot of other folks here. I wondered what he was going to be looking at in terms of what some of his goals were, but my particular axe that I'd like to see grind ground, however you say that, is our park system. I've been a little nervous about it at the national level, and certainly the state level could be a concern too, is cutting back services to the parks to the point where people stop going to them, which might make it an argument that we should start selling off our parkland because people don't use the parks. But if the money isn't there to make the park safe, people won't come.
Good question, Carolyn.
So this is obviously not Carolyn Lehman calling in in defense of Lauren.
No, this is Caroline, the lady that got the lamp.
I know. Hi, Caroline.
Well, you know, Caroline, Johnny knows more about this than I do, actually. But, you know, up until we suddenly got rich again here last year, I guess it was the year before, whenever it was, what had happened was there'd been sort of a steady whittling away at everything. And by everything, I mean everything. The legislature was assessing, you know, 5% across the board cuts and 10% across the board cuts. And that's just not smart budgeting. You know, what you really want to do is decide what it is you want to do, fund that, and then just not fund the other stuff.
Exactly.
And so it's really, you know, a question like parks is a question like any other, which is where does it fall on a priority list? You know, how much money have you got and how far down the list can you get? And, you know, how much is it going to cost you to do a decent job, which I'd argue, you know, I've seen the deterioration. I use the state parks. You know, I go out and camp and do all the rest of that, and I've seen them deteriorate over the past decade pretty badly. And so the question is, you know, how much money would it cost to actually have a decent park system, and, you know, can we finance it, and where does it fall on the priority list? But as long as really all we're doing is saying we're going to keep doing everything, we'll just do less of it, which has been the approach so far, I think, we're just never going to have a very good anything.
But shouldn't our parks, if they're in good shape, be a profit center for us in terms of tourists?
Well, they certainly ought to be. You'd think they would be, at least during the tourist season. I mean, I imagine a lot of those roadside parks just sit there empty during the winter. But you should be able to make some revenue. I don't know the numbers well enough to know whether you could, you know, make as much as you need to run the park system off of user fees during the summer. I tend to doubt it. You know, I think you're always going to have to put some general fund money in there, and as soon as you decide you're going to do that, it's in the pool with everything else.
Yeah, well, I'm just afraid that they'll start selling off our parkland. That's my worry.
That's an interesting conclusion to draw. Might not be too far off base. Thanks, Caroline.
You're welcome.
Senator Ellis says, I would imagine that running the state park system in Alaska is a lot different than it is in any other state in the union. You're talking about a lot more land, probably more traffic, with some exceptions. But how is it more of a challenge than it is other places?
Well, the parks are, we can be very proud of our park system in Alaska, the amount of acreage that's devoted to it, and Alaskans love their parks.
Mm-hmm.
They love their state parks. Chugach State Park was created through a whole citizen effort. Representative
right.
Sharon Sisna was one of the we call her the mother or grandmother of Chugach State Park. And that group, that citizen advisory group and friends of Chugach State Park are inviting legislators and new legislators to an informal dinner next week, I believe, to lobby us on this very issue. So Caroline might want to get involved with that group. So Alaskans love their parks. Everything that Mike Dugan said is absolutely true, that whittling away at the parks over the past few years, and a fellow who worked for the Knowles administration tried some innovative approaches, but they never really pencil out as a profit center. It's a much more generalized economic effect of drawing tourists here and being proud of our outdoors. I come through back from Juneau through the Yukon, and am often very much impressed with how the Yukoners do it, whether they have prisoners out cutting firewood or cleaning the latrines at their state parks and campgrounds. And you come into Alaska and all the signs are shot up.
Right.
The parks are in terrible disarray.
Yeah, it's a real difference.
It's a shocking, shocking contrast between our parks
and the Yukons
and pull-offs and the Yukons. And, you know, they're a much more struggling resource-based economy over there. And it makes me not so proud to be an American or an Alaskan that we can't put the resources necessary to have a proud state park system. We can do better.
You know, Senator Ellis, taking that idea of using prisoners to help with the maintenance of the parks, maybe it's not such a bad thing that we have qualified people like Representative Tom Anderson that might be able to help spearhead such
now,
an
Now, how
effort.
Did we know you were going there, Aaron?
Judge, jury, and executioner.
Ouch. Couldn't help it. Got to take a one-minute break here on the Aaron Selvig Show. Representative-elect Mike Dugan and Senator Johnny Ellis, our guests, 929-5160, the telephone number. We love you. We love your calls. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 526 in the Anchorage Bowl. We're doing the demo memo today, as we do every Friday. And good news, ladies and gentlemen, our guests today, Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative-elect Mike Dugan, are able to stick around with us a little bit longer. An extended version of the demo memo makes the children very happy. Fellas, I want to talk about Governor no longer governor-elect, Sarah Palin. JR and I did a special couple of shows earlier this week. We went up to Fairbanks over the weekend. We were talking to some of the striker soldiers, but we were there primarily to cover the inauguration of Sarah Palin at the Carlson Center. We were there, got to talk to the governor-elect and some of the Constitution delegates that were there. A very interesting weekend. It really did feel like an important moment in Alaska history. How do you guys feel about the incoming Palin administration and so far her first week on the job?
Optimistic, like Alaskans. I think that's reflective of politicians and regular folks in general. And I was very encouraged to hear one of my political heroes, Senator Vic Fisher, former state Senator Vic Fisher and constitutional author Vic Fisher, say that he was invited to spend about an hour with Sarah Palin, along with the other, John Coghill and others who were there at the Constitutional Convention, and discussed their reverence for the Constitution and how progressive our state Constitution is. And Sarah Palin wove that into her inaugural speech. And on the campaign trail, some people said in a sort of unsophisticated and sophomoric way, talked about the Constitution. I take her at her reverence for the Constitution as a very real thing, and that she, as she studies the Constitution more, her appreciation for that will grow. And
she calls it her political Bible.
Absolutely, and that's a great sign. And I know that there are folks that are interested in not enshrining discrimination against gays and lesbians into the state constitution. And I know Sarah Palin has her views about that, but hopefully we can come to some conclusion about the state constitution may not be the place to work out to enshrine discrimination in the constitution. So I'm optimistic that she's off to a good start.
Absolutely,
and she kicked Jim Clark's butt off of the ANGDA board, and I danced a jig around my living room when I said, "Good for you, Sarah Palin."
I want to get to that when we come back after the bottom of the hour break. Ask you about that, Governor Murkowski appointing Jim Clark. I hope he enjoyed the job on the board. It lasted all of 2 days, I think. We'll get to all of that and more. You know, the headline in the News Miner about that optimism. I were reading this when we were there. It was about an article about Palin, and the subheadline was, "Even Democrats are optimistic." You can read into that a couple of different ways. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080 AM, an extended version of the Demo Memo with Senator Ellis and Representative-elect Dugan coming up. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 5:35 in the Anchorage Bowl. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080 AM. We continue along with our special extended version of the Demo Memo today. Our guest in the studio, Representative-elect Mike Dugan. Perhaps you've heard of him. And Senator Johnny Ellis. This just in, gentlemen, we've got a press release from Governor Palin's office regarding the arrest of Representative Tom Anderson yesterday. Governor Palin says, "Alaskans deserve to trust that the public officials they elect are working in their best interest and the best interest of Alaska always. Keeping in mind that Mr. Anderson is innocent until proven guilty, serious accusations like these against a former state lawmaker make this a sad day for Alaska." That from Governor Sarah Palin. We've got phone calls on the line, gentlemen, if you don't mind, and we love our callers on this show. Let's just go dive right in. We go to line one now, where we're joined by Jared. Hi, Jared. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This is a different topic, but I was just calling about the road to Juneau.
Ah, yes.
Right before Frank Murkowski got out of office, they ended up putting that part of that project out for bid, and it came back too high for what they wanted it, so they did a quickie rebid real quick, and it just seems there's a lot of controversy surrounding it, like everything that that past administration has done. Can you guys give us any updates as to what's going on with that road to Juneau?
Well, the last thing I saw was probably what everybody else saw, which was it turned into like a two-lane gravel road part of the way to
a pioneer road, they're calling it.
There was never, except in the earliest stages, there was never a proposal for a road to Juneau. What it was a proposal for a road to a different, ferry terminal, essentially.
Yet to be built.
Right. I mean, they were going to extend the road, I forget, umpty ump miles, and you were going to have to get on a ferry still to get around the federal land there where they won't let them build.
And if you get past the avalanches.
Right, and if you get past the avalanches. Frank Murkowski's road program was as well thought out as any other Frank Murkowski policy. including his gas pipeline and his jet and all the rest of that. It's just, you know, hey, we know some guys who own bulldozers and graders. Let's build some roads.
But some of those guys are upset now.
Yeah, there's a lawsuit involved, isn't there?
The losing bidder said mm-hmm. We got messed over and they've gone to court. So it's the worst of all worlds.
Right. Lawsuits and no roads.
Part of Governor Murkowski's reign of terror in the last week of governorship, he just really threw as many wrenches into the works as he possibly could. Governor Palin has spent part of this last week trying to undo some of that mess, so the Juneau Road probably on her list as well. Thanks a lot, Jared. Appreciate the call.
You bet.
We move right along to line two now, and Jerry. Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
All right. Can I turn to something that's positive and there isn't a scandal associated with it?
You bet. That sounds like a breath of fresh air. You bet.
This guest is primarily for Ellis, I would guess, because he's been there the longest and understands how the functions and probably served on Legislative Council. It's my understanding the Legislative Council can act for the legislature in the absence of a session being.
That's correct.
Is it possible that the Legislative Council could say, like, appropriate a couple $100 apiece for the GIs who have been from, they're stationed here in Alaska. They don't have to be from Alaska, but stationed here in Alaska, who've been over in Afghanistan and Iraq, and give it to them for Christmas?
No, that's not in the purview, Jerry. That's not in the purview of the Leg Council to appropriate more than a small contract. For certain things we need. I appreciate the sentiment, but it's not. It'd have to be an appropriation.
Yeah. Okay, it takes a full legislature. I've got a comment.
That's right.
Now.
Okay.
You guys are celebrating the demise of Jim Clark. I've probably been about as far on the other side from Jim Clark as anybody, but I thought his appointment to ANGDA would have been quite nice. After all, what damage could he do? They had seven rubber stamps, and all they did was reduce it by one. So it would have been 6-1 against him, and he would have been there. But he could have blown the whistle on a lot of things that shouldn't be transpiring that are within ANGDA.
I think you're going to find that
ANGDA, if it ever gets a chance to get to a grand jury, will find that a lot of money has been wasted.
Think so,
Thank
Jerry?
You, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. That is our resident oil industry critic and activist, Jerry McCuncheon. Senator Ellis, did you hear the story? It made the papers earlier this week. Jerry actually got his way into the first of the meetings that Governor Palin was having with British Petroleum. I think this was on Tuesday. He actually entered the room and was sitting there with all these BP executives until somebody noticed, was like, hey, wait a second, who's this guy? And they tossed him out on his ear. You got to admire
courage. He might have gotten the impression from the Palin campaign that even those initial meetings would be open to the public and transparent.
I think he did get that impression.
It was a little surprising. I know she billed that as just a get-to-know-you kind of session. But there's her Lieutenant Governor, Sean Parnell, former ConocoPhillips executive, sitting there doing more than just running the Division of Elections. He's involved in these gas line negotiations. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, she appreciates his assistance, but I think some people thought those meetings were going to be open to the public. And Jerry, I guess, showed up and took her at her word. Now, when it goes on to substantive discussions, I do expect those to be open to the public and transparent fully to comport with Sarah Palin's promise to the people.
She did promise that, and I do believe that she has reiterated that promise this week. She's saying that these meetings are just a get-to-know-you session and kind of laying the groundwork. I think roadmap was the word she used for a future gas pipeline.
Well, the problem she's got there is the problem that politicians always have when they say something. She didn't say all the meetings except the getting-to-know-you meetings are going to be open
My
administration. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, open and transparent. And I don't think there's any way that you can do that and then have a series of closed meetings and not have people say, hey, wait a minute, that isn't what you promised. You know, the lesson here shouldn't be, yeah, it's okay to have certain kinds of closed meetings. If you're going to say that you're going to have an open and transparent administration, you better have one.
Representative-elect Mike Dugan and Senator Johnny Ellis are guests on the show today. 929-5160, the telephone number. We go back to the phones to line three and another Richard. Hi, Richard. How you doing? You're on the air.
Yeah, this Republican group, you know, Coghill, Seekins, Greenhole, you know, they've been voting for years to keep power rather than what's best for the state, not to mention their all the boondoggles projects they supported that lost the state billions. But Mike was down there for a long time, and he was writing articles for a long time. What did he do to bring this out to the public and let us know, hey, this is what's going on? What did he do?
What did I do?
Yes.
I wrote about it every time I saw it, Richard. And as a matter of fact, if you go back through the columns, particularly the ones I wrote from the ends of the legislative sessions when I was down there, you're going to find that basically I was telling the truth as I was able to discover it. You know, which was sort of my job.
And that is why former Lieutenant Governor Lehman and others detest you so badly.
Yeah.
Now, I remember reading quite a few of Mike's truths in his column. He had a proud tradition of that.
He had a pitch-perfect approach in political terms to those last few days of the session. Peter Dunlap-Scholl would come and do the cartoons. Mm-hmm. I knew the session was almost over. And Mike just perfectly would capture that hubbub on the second floor of the Capitol. The hallways filled with lobbyists and average citizens and staffers and all the deals being made and all the anticipation of adjournment. It was, you could read Mike's column and accurately know what was going on in the halls of power in Juneau. And that was a public service to people all across the state.
Gentlemen, a big news day here in Alaska, obviously, with the arrest and, well, subsequent release on bail of Representative Tom Anderson, a story we will, of course, be talking about later and following. But right now, we got a break. We got to get out of here. I know you guys got things to do. Thank you, Representative-elect Mike Dugan, Senator Ellis, for joining us.
You're welcome. Next week, it'll be Senator Hollis French, a leader on ethics reform and the new chair of Senate Judiciary.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Mike, good to see you again.
Thanks, Aaron.
Have a good
weekend. It.
This is the Aaron Selbig Show. When we come back, we will give you an update on what's going on with the Tom Anderson saga. Why was he arrested first? Can anybody say stool pigeon? 544 in the Anchorage Bowl. We'll be right back with more after a short break.